and gentlemen, welcome to my lecture recital. Today I will introduce you to the songs for soprano by the Austro-American composer Eric Zeisel. Although I was aware of Zeisel's name, I had not yet heard any of his music until quite recently on my last visit to Vienna, Austria. There I heard a song cycle for baritone by Zeisel, Moon Pictures. I was immediately captivated by this lush and expressive music, and my curiosity was piqued. To find out more about Zeisel, I started to do research and discovered that he had written approximately 100 songs. Erich Zeisel, who changed his name to Eric later, was born in 1905 in Vienna, Austria. His family was of Slavic descent. Zeisel's parents owned a coffee house in Vienna and therefore could provide well for the family of six, Eric being the third of four boys, until the outbreak of World War I in 1918. During and after the war, though, the family was on the brink of poverty. Although the family was Jewish, they thought of themselves first and foremost as Austrians. The Zeisel household was a musical one. The father was a member of a choral society. His uncle was a professional singer in Nuremberg, and two of his brothers sang as well. Eric learned to play the piano and grew to be an excellent pianist. Growing up in a house filled with music, Eric's inclinations to compose began emerging at the early age of 8 or 9. His interest in composition was not taken seriously by his family and was eventually completely rejected. They considered music a hobby, certainly not a profession. Early on, Zeisel showed a nervous temperament, so much so that he was taken to a neurologist. During one incident, Eric's mother locked the piano and burned all his compositions because she thought that his occupation with these matters contributed to Eric's mental condition. Zeisel suffered from bouts of depression for the rest of his life, even after seeking help through therapy. After deliberately failing school so that he would be sent to the Vienna State Academy instead, he took classes there sporadically from 1919 to 1923. Zeisel's temperament did not respond well to traditional teaching. Also, because he scored high in the entrance exams, due to his perfect pitch and his excellent piano skills, he was placed in classes that were too advanced for him. Fortunately, his extraordinary talent was discovered by Richard Stöhr, a teacher with whom Eric was studying harmony at the academy. Zeisel subsequently took private lessons in composition with him and taught private lessons to be able to afford his own lessons with Stöhr, as well as to survive as a professional composer in general. Other influential teachers were Joseph Marx and Hugo Kauder. The Zeisel scholar, Dr. Malcolm S. Cole, stated the following. The former nurtured Zeisel's lyric dramatic talents. The latter tutored him in the handling of sustained instrumental compositions. For the rest of his life, Zeisel continued to look for teachers to improve his compositional technique. The intimate genre of lied especially played to Zeisel's talents, and it was this genre which helped him to establish himself in the Viennese concert life. In the years of 1922 to 1926, he wrote around 26 songs. Famous singers, including Hans Tuhan and Alexander Kipnis, sang his songs in recitals, further helping to spread Zeisel's name. After 1924, Zeisel's songs were often performed in important venues in Vienna, especially the Konzerthaus. In the mid-1920s, Zeisel met Gertrud Jelinek, and his love for her sparked his imagination. 1931 became his song year. In this year, Zeisel composed 24 of his unpublished songs, as well as the children's songs, and most of the songs that were published by Doblinger Verlag. In December of 1935, despite many adverse conditions, Gertrud became Eric's wife. After 1930, in an attempt to distribute his music, Eric Zeisel became a member of several professional associations. His music was broadcast over the radio, which piqued the interest of critics and music lovers. Zeisel thought it necessary to achieve a long-time publishing contract in order to become known beyond the borders of Austria. He was in negotiations with Schott Verlag, a very influential publishing house in German-speaking areas, but he was finally rejected because of the adverse financial circumstances plaguing Germany and Austria following World War I. The real reason may well have been that he was Jewish. Hitler was already powerful in Germany at that time, and music by Jews could not be performed. After 1932, the genre Lied took a backseat to chamber music and larger forms. Zeisel had a desire to compose large forms throughout his whole life. Compositions in many different genres appeared in the 1930s, including his first string quartet, Little Symphony, several choral compositions, and the Singspiel Leons und Lena. 1938 was a major milestone in Zeisel's life. Leons und Lena was scheduled to be performed at the Schlosstheater Schönbrunn in Vienna, among many other scheduled performances. In addition, Zeisel was offered a teaching position at the prestigious Vienna Conservatory. But all those plans were crushed by Hitler's invasion of Austria on March 13, 1938. Immediately, the most imminent problem was survival. But Zeisel soon realized that the only option was to emigrate. Zeisel, who had always detested traveling, was now forced to leave Vienna behind forever. In 1939, the Zeisels immigrated to the United States via Paris. In these times of turmoil, Zeisel recollected his Jewish heritage and his music underwent a profound change of style. The Zeisel scholar Malcolm S. Cole called this new style his Hebraic style, a style which incorporated elements of the Eastern and Western European cultures. Upon arrival, he learned that his wife was pregnant with her first child, and he felt optimistic about making a fresh new start. Initially, his introduction to the music scene in America went smoothly. Several of Zeisel's compositions were aired on NBC, but soon negotiations with publishers, conductors, and performers stagnated, and the young family was faced with poverty. In 1941, Zeisel was invited to MGM, by MGM, to come to Hollywood. There, he found difficult working conditions and poor salary. Additionally, Zeisel felt even more displaced and homesick in Hollywood than before. Although he collaborated in many projects, among them Lassie Come Home, he never received screen credit. After 18 months, he was released from MGM. Faced with poverty again, he continued to do freelance studio work, private teaching, and orchestration work. In 1945, Zeisel became an American citizen. In the same year, he set Psalm 92 to music, which turned into a requiem, the Requiem Hebraico. After Zeisel learned about the death of his father and many of his friends in concentration camps. To this day, it is his most well-known and most often performed work. The Zeisels owned a small house, which became the meeting point of an emigre artist circle. People like Hans Kafka, Alma Mahler-Werfel, Darius Milhaud, Hans Eisler, Erich Wolfgang Korngold, and Igor Stravinsky were regular guests. In 1946, he became teacher of composition and theory at the Southern California School of Music and Arts, and in 1949, Zeisel left this institute to teach at the Los Angeles City College. There, he was in charge of building a program and developed a new curriculum for theory and composition. In the 1950s, he was featured in the Los Angeles Times series, The Transplanted Composer. Compositions appeared on commercial recordings, and several works of his were published. Finally, he had regained the status he had in Vienna in 1938. He could not enjoy his success for long, and neither could he solidify it. He died of a heart attack on February 18, 1959. Eric Zeisel's compositional style can be roughly put into three categories: the Viennese period, the Hebraic style, and the movie music. I will concentrate on his Viennese style, since all of Zeisel's songs, except a single English one, Prayer, have German texts and were written in Vienna before Zeisel's forced emigration to the USA in 1939. In the years between 1920 and 1938, Eric Zeisel wrote approximately 100 songs, 23 of which are published. About half of the songs are for the soprano voice, the other half for the medium voice, most of them for baritone. For my paper, as well as for the lecture recital today, I have chosen four published songs that have not yet been discussed, as well as five unpublished songs, with the intent to give an insight in the wide range of moods represented in Zeisel's song output. Dr. Barbara Zeisel Schönberg, the daughter of the composer, was so friendly as to provide me with all of Zeisel's unpublished songs. The musical language of Zeisel's songs ranges from a late romantic musical style to a more chromatic, to songs without a key signature. Among the musical influences on Zeisel were the songs and the music he heard his brothers practice at home, the Slavic folk music of his ancestors, as well as the music he heard in a synagogue. Also, Zeisel meticulously studied the scores of Franz Schubert, Johannes Brahms, Hugo Wolf, Gustav Mahler, and Richard Strauss. He had a great admiration for Richard Wagner and for the drama in music of Giuseppe Verdi. By his contemporaries, Zeisel was seen as a moderately modern composer, but there was controversy. He was too modern for the conservatives and not modern enough for the avant-garde composers. For Zeisel, a song was a drama in a single page. His songs often had autobiographical traits. Zeisel wasn't very fond of reading. His friends provided him with poetry they thought he would like, and he kept an archive of song recital programs with texts he considered to be of interest. Despite the fact that he wasn't an avid reader, he used a wide variety of poets, most of them of high literary quality, like Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, but he also used some much less known poets. One of the most outstanding elements of Zeisel's songs is his gift for writing melodies. In an interview, Zeisel once stated, "Melody is the heart, and you can't construct melodies. They are the essence of musical gift." Reminiscent of Schubert is Zeisel's use of word painting and his love for major-minor vacillation. Usually, there's one key per song and the harmonic rhythm is slow. Occasional bitonality, pedal points, and simultaneous major and minor forms of the same chord occur. The role of the accompaniment in Zeisel's songs cannot be underestimated. Not only is it often fiendishly difficult, it always plays a major role in creating the mood. Often, it has its own musical material and depicts the inner world of the protagonists. Most of Zeisel's songs have a very wide range and often also a challenging tessitura. Although there are no coloraturas and few melismatic passages in his songs, it is still necessary to have a flexible voice since many leaps are found, some quite wide. One example for a song that exhibits all of the discussed challenges is Immer leiser wird mein Schlummer. It has a range of almost 2 octaves from C4 to B5, and a singer must be able to sustain in the lower register as well as in the high part of the voice. Additionally, some large leaps can be found. Thank you. can see an example for the high tessitura that occurs in the same song. Representative of the late Romantic musical language and at the same time a prime example for tone painting is the published song Vor meinem Fenster. In this song, the protagonist listens to a bird in front of his window. Zeisel creates a dreamlike mood by letting the bird sing several motifs. It sings throughout the whole song and is depicted in several ways. Large leaps and melodic gestures, high register, staccato notes, trills and grace notes. The bird starts out the song with a motif in dotted rhythm. Another motif is the trill on dotted quarter notes, sometimes accompanied by grace notes. In this example, another version of tone painting can be found. Zeisel drops the word heart, hats, into the low range of the soprano voice on the text, "My heart dissolves." A staccato motif followed by durational accents permeates the transition motif 3. The bird also concludes the song. Another prime example for tone painting occurs in the more dissonant published song Die Fünf Hühnerchen. In this song, five chickens fight over a worm and are friends again as soon as the worm is eaten. Zeisel sets the mood with the accompaniment. There are three clucking motifs. The first one, the disgruntled clucking motif, starts out the song and is repeated continuously for the first 11 measures. Another clucking motif, which sounds less upset and more like the regular everyday clucking of chickens, appears after the worm conflict has been resolved. It consists of grace notes followed by a descending line of four staccato eighth notes. It is also repeated several times in the following measures. Another clucking motif can be found, which is the happiest and most unified clucking motif. The first four notes are eighth notes and are to be played staccato, while the fifth note is a quarter note, which receives an accent, although it is on an offbeat. Clearly, the listener can hear five beats here. The five chickens are unified in thought right here, exactly what the text says, wieder lieb, they like each other again. One prime example for the importance of the accompaniment is the unpublished song, Kommst du nicht herein, a song that is highly chromatic. It is a gripping account of a person who has lost a loved one and who has to live with the constant pain that this loss has brought to his life. The song consists of two short stanzas with an interlude. What is interesting about this interlude is that it exceeds both of the vocal stanzas considerably in length. Not only does the accompaniment set the mood of hopelessness and despair with its relentlessly pounding chords, it has its own musical material and reaches the highest note of the song in the interlude. The accompaniment is allowed to express the inner turmoil and grief, which is pretty much suppressed in the vocal stanzas. All the songs I have discussed in my paper, and that you will hear performed shortly, are prime examples of Zeisel's well-crafted, inspired, and personal musical language of his Viennese time period, 1905 to 1938. They all outline Zeisel's control of technique, his outstanding talent for portrayal, his sense of humor, his naivety, his gift for melody, and his aptitude for tone painting. I would like to point out especially his talent for simplicity. There never seems to be one note too many, one word repeated too often. Each and every song is a perfect gem in itself that tells its own story. Thank you for your attention, and now enjoy the beautiful music of this outstanding composer, Eric Zeisel.